Hey there, this is James Wilson with MTB Strength Training Systems and BikeJames.com. Welcome to another edition of the MTB Strength Coach Podcast. In this podcast, I'm going to go over a book that I read recently about 2 months ago. I started taking Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu classes, and so like anything else, I like to read books on it and helps accelerate the learning curve dramatically. So one of the books that I picked up was called Zen Jiu-Jitsu, the 30-day program to improve your game by 1,000%, which is a pretty big improvement. So that's what got me interested in it. But anyways, it was a really good book, and that at the heart of it were some principles that apply really, really well to really getting better at anything, but specifically mountain biking. And, you know, of course, being a mountain biker, I'm always tying everything back to riding. And so, you know, like I said, at the heart of it was how to improve your jiu-jitsu game in just 30 days. And like I said, the principles apply nicely to mountain biking as well. And at the heart of the program is the ability to identify an area of weakness and then design a plan to address it. And this can be kind of tough for a lot of riders because it involves thinking about your riding in a different way than you're probably used to doing. You know, first, you have to, in order to identify an area of weakness, you first have to acknowledge that, one, mountain biking isn't a talent, and that different aspects of riding can be learned and improved upon, and that, two, you simply suck in some of those areas. And again, that's kind of a tough pill for some people to swallow. I'm not sure why. You know, I think that when we understand that we suck at something, that's the first step towards starting to get better at something. But a lot of people's ego can't really take that kind of a harsh look at their riding and go, you know, maybe it's not that I'm not talented. Maybe it's not that cornering is a talent, or, you know, being a great pedaler is a talent. Maybe it's a skill and I just suck at it and I got to get better at it, you know? And so it ends up meaning that you have to take personal responsibility for how you ride. It's no longer somebody else's fault. It's no longer your parents' fault or your bike's fault or anything like that. It's your fault that you don't ride the way that you want to. And so you need to be able to identify what those different areas are, what areas you suck at, and then, you know, figure out a way to get better at it. So some of the different areas of mountain biking could include skills like pedaling, both seated and standing. This is something that I've talked about a lot, but, you know, seated and standing pedaling are different movements and different skills, and so one does not translate over to the other. So if you don't feel good at standing pedaling, you need to focus on that. Body positioning on the bike, cornering, you know, skills like that. And, or it could be something, you know, like a fitness related thing, like your attack position endurance. You know, if you're a downhill racer and you just find that, you know, you're really tired towards the end of a downhill run, well, maybe you just don't have, you know, a good solid attack position and good endurance in that position. Or, you know, standing pedaling endurance, like I mentioned. So, or standing pedaling power, if you want to increase your standing pedaling power. So again, you know, the more specific that you can make your goal, the better. You know, when people tell me, well, I just want to be a better rider, like the thing that I ask my clients when I'm doing my initial assessment with them is, you know, if I could sprinkle magic trainer dust on you and you woke up tomorrow, what would happen? And the people that can be more specific with me as to what would happen if, you know, all of their, you know, if they improved in the areas they wanted to, usually do better. So when someone tells me, well, I just want to be a better rider. Okay, what do you mean you want to be a better rider? Like, you know, do you feel like you need to get faster? Do you feel like you're as fast as you need to be, but now you need to be able to sustain that longer? Are there specific types of skills that give you trouble? You know, certain areas of the trail that when it requires you to do a certain thing, like cornering, or, you know, do you not feel very comfortable, you know, cornering on flat corners that don't have berms, you know? So if you can be more specific about what your goals are, then it's easier to address those things. But a little word of warning, you know, don't get too specific. We're wanting to focus on principles more than, you know, just specific methods. And what I mean by that is, you know, say that, you know, muddy roots on an off camber corner give you trouble. They give everybody trouble. Like that's a really tough thing. Like you can definitely do things that will help you get better at that. And really, you know, I'll mention here a little bit later that as you improve, your goals will get more specific. And so at the highest levels, if you're a World Cup downhill racer, then that may be a good goal for you. But for your average rider, for someone who's, you know, not at that World Cup level, you want to try to stick to things a little bit more, you know, specific, more principle. I mean, general, like, you know, principle driven. So, for example, what is it about the muddy route off camera corner that gives you problems? Do you just have trouble cornering in the first place? Do you not have good body position so that you're balanced? A lot of times there's some other core principle that's causing problems in those very specific areas. And that if you address that core principle, then you'll see improvements there. So hopefully that makes sense. So again, once you've identified an area of weakness, you need a plan. You need a plan to address that area specifically. And this too can be tough because it requires you to look at your workouts and your rides as something that can create a very specific response in the body, and that you need to focus on that specific area rather than trying to train everything at once. And, you know, this is at the heart of periodization. Like, people like to use that term, and it sounds fancy, and people, there's definitely very complicated periodization models and stuff like that. But really, at the heart of it, periodization simply means having a period of time, get it, periodization, where you are focusing on something, you know, on a specific area of fitness or skill or something like that. So you're not just training everything at once. And so this is one of the reasons that the CrossFit model of, you know, continually training everything the same, not really having any specific focus, you know, it's not as good for athletes, because athletes need specific things. Now, it's not at the exclusion of everything else. So, you know, that was something I definitely want to mention. You're not wanting to exclude all other areas of fitness or skill. So say you've identified, you know, improving your cardio as something that you need to get better at, which would be pretty general. I'd like for, you know, people to get a little more specific than, you know, improve my cardio. But for the sake of this here, you don't want to neglect strength and power as well. It simply means that you're going to spend a 30-day period of time focused on a specific aspect of cardio with some other elements of the other things that you need still in your program. So that's where, you know, you don't want to go to either extreme. One of the reasons that, you know, CrossFit, not to continue to, you know, hammer them, but one of the things that they do well and that actually, you know, people enjoy is that they don't focus on just one thing. So what happens is, if you're a runner and all you've ever done is run, and then you try to, and then you get into something like CrossFit that has you doing these other things, well, you feel better because of that. But you can take that to too much of an extreme where you refuse to focus on any specific area for fear that you're going to create some sort of imbalance. Well, guess what? Being an athlete is about having some imbalances. You want some imbalances that are specific things that that help you do better in your sport. So for us as mountain bikers, you know, I talk about it a lot. The hip hinge is very important. That ability to hinge at the hips, push the butt back, and get the chest down. That is an extremely important skill for us on the trail. We should be better at movements like the swing and the deadlift and single leg deadlifts and things that really work that hip hinge movement. We should be better at those movements than we are with, say, our squatting movements. We don't need the squatting movements as much. We need it, but not as much. So anyways, I'm really kind of starting to get off topic here, but that point of not being afraid to focus on something for 30 days is very important. And again, it's in today's fitness world, we've been given kind of this message that you don't want to focus, that it's not good to focus on any specific thing, that you want to have this, you know, generalized fitness. But as athletes, it doesn't work as well. So, you know, again, you need to think along the lines of movement principles when you're thinking about creating your program, rather than trying to create specific movements from the bike in the gym. And what this means is that, you know, standing on a wobble board or something like that doesn't make an exercise more mountain bike specific. The basic movement patterns being trained does. And again, You know, like I just mentioned, if you need to improve your body position on the bike, say that's an area of weakness that you've identified and you need to get better at it, you need to be focusing a lot on that hip hinge movement pattern. And so standing on a wobble board doing exercises does not make your program mountain bike specific. Knowing that you need to improve your hip hinge and then having exercises that help you improve that hip hinge and you focusing on moving properly while you're doing those exercises, that's what makes it a mountain bike specific program. So again, it's just, you know, understanding how different exercises and movements, and you know, again, I have a lot of resources that talk about this stuff on my blog, how different exercises line up with different skills on the bike, like how the windmill will help you corner better, how you know, the hip hinge will help you get better body position, the swing will help you improve your manualing. So I've done a lot of the work in helping riders understand how different movements and exercises can improve the skills on the bike, and that's what you need to be doing. If you know that I need to get better at cornering, well, how does your windmill look? Have you ever done a windmill? Do you even know how to do a windmill? If you're not doing windmills on a consistent basis in your program and you say that I need to get better at cornering, I got to scratch my head, because those two things are not congruent. You cannot say I want to get better at cornering and then not have exercises that work the fundamental movement patterns that you want to get better at in your program on a consistent basis. It just doesn't work that way. So again, like I had mentioned, though, this doesn't mean you want to exclude any other types of riding or training or movements, just that you want to make a conscious effort to focus on your chosen area as much as possible. So once you've chosen an area to focus on and you have the drills or the exercises you need to improve with, then you need to commit to working on this area at least 5 days a week for the next 30 days. And this can be broken up into mobility work, strength work, skills drills, and focus rides. But every day, at least 5 days a week, but you know, hopefully every day, you're able to do something that will help you train that area of focus. So, for example, say that you've identified, again, I'll use cornering as an example. You've identified that cornering is something that you need to get better at, and you want to improve that. Well, like I said, there's mobility work that you need to do. You need to make sure that you've got your lateral hip hinge opened up. So, you know, doing things like the Bretzel 2 stretch or the tactical frog stretch are going to be very important. You want to have, you know, strength work. So like I'd mentioned, doing the windmill, the Turkish get-up windmill drill, you know, things along those lines that are going to work that lateral hip hinge need to be in your program. Skills drills, there's different cone drills and things that you can do on your bike that will help you transfer that better mobility and strength to the movement on the bike. And then focus rides. And these are rides that are shorter, generally less than an hour, 45 minutes to an hour long, so that you can go out and remain mentally fresh and really focus on a specific thing on the trail. So when you go out on a ride, you're not just riding, you're going out with the goal of applying the better skills, the better mobility, the better strength, and the better skills that you've learned to the trail with cornering. And that's your focus. The whole ride is like, I don't care about how fast I go, how far I go. I'm just going to make sure that every corner I come to, I'm going to apply good body position and good technique to. That's a basic plan for improving your cornering. And you can apply that basic plan to anything you want to get better at. And if you do that for 30 days, there's no way that you can't have made a significant improvement in that area that you're looking to get better at. So that's it. Like I said, it doesn't have to be that complicated. It just requires that you do focus on something, you understand how your program can focus on something, and then you commit to that for 30 days. So after the 30 days, you want to take a 1 to 2 week break, and then you want to repeat the process. And there's always something you can get better at. And as you progress, though, these things will get smaller and more specific and will require more concerted effort to move the needle. So going back to the World Cup downhill guy who needs to improve his ability to corner on off-camber muddy routes, at a certain point, that will be your goal. That will be what you need to improve. I mean, that's going to require that you fly somewhere that has terrain like that, that you can practice on consistently for a couple of weeks. So again, the amount of effort that it's going to take to move the needle to improve something that specific is going to be a lot bigger than just improving your cornering in general. And so that's what's going to happen, though, is as you continue to progress, you're going to need to continue to focus on different areas, understand where those weaknesses are, and those goals will get more specific, and the amount of effort you've got to put into it will get bigger. So that's just kind of how it works. But unfortunately, that's why a lot of riders end up kind of plateauing, because they don't have any sort of plan like this. So so some other things that I took from the book, a lot of it is mindset stuff. There was a quote that I took from the Book of Five Rings last time that I read it, that went something along the lines of, words can only lead you to the start of the path. They can't walk the path for you. And that just means that your mindset is the most important thing. There's not a program out there that's going to improve what you want to improve without you being conscious and mindful of how you're approaching it. So be mindful of what you do. You know, while turning the brain off and just riding is fun, it doesn't help you improve. It doesn't. So just going out on a hammer fest is not really a training ride. A training ride requires that you have something specific you're trying to improve and a plan on how to improve it. So again, have fun, but just remember, if you're not focusing on what you're doing, you're not being mindful of it, you're not improving. It takes 10,000 hours of deliberate practice to master something. Okay, 10,000 hours. That generally breaks down to about 10 years for most endeavors. There's something about that 10,000 hour mark, that 10-year mark of deliberate practice to master something that pops up a lot of times in a lot of different books. I've read it many times before. But what this number does, it reinforces both the point of being mindful, because it's not 10,000 hours of practice. It's 10,000 hours of deliberate practice. So just riding for 10,000 hours doesn't mean that you've mastered riding. You know, training, having some sort of mindful, deliberate practice that will help your riding for 10,000 hours is what means that you will master riding. So you need to be mindful of what you're doing, and you need to have patience with the process. 10 years, like honestly, it will take you 10 years to get to the point to where you feel like you've got a real solid handle on almost every aspect of riding. And you know, this is one of the reasons that new riders get sucked into things that they don't need too fast, because they don't understand the process. They don't understand that 10,000 hours number and have patience. And so they get out on the trail and they don't understand why after like 6 months of riding, they're not as fast as the guy who's been riding for 10 years. And so they start looking for ways to speed up the process, like clipless pedals and 29ers and more expensive bikes and lighter bikes and things like that, when they're missing the point. The point is the process, not the destination. You know, you can't buy your way to being a great rider. The only way to do it is to earn it through this 10,000 hours of deliberate practice. So have patience with the process. Study at other schools. In the book, the author talked about the benefit of going to another school every once in a while to train. You know, he said it was good to experience different rolling styles and energy levels at the school and with the students. And I think this is extremely valuable advice for mountain bikers as well. You know, you need to break out of your comfort zone. Try a different type of riding every once in a while. You know, the downhill guys, go on a 4 to 6 hour epic pedal somewhere. You know, you cross country guys, go spend a day, rent a bike and go to a downhill, a resort and spend all day downhilling. You know, go out with a different local riding group every once in a while. Most of us kind of get sucked into riding with the same group all the time. And most places will have more than one riding group that will have some sort of like, you know, public group ride that you can show up to every once in a while. So, you know, expose yourself to other riders and stuff. And, you know, maybe go take a skills class from a new coach. If you've taken a skills class before, you know, maybe find another coach and go see what he has to say about things. So, you know, break out of your little world every once in a while. And I'm just as guilty of this as everybody else. But, you know, we gotta be aware that there's other things out there that we can learn and take away if we will do that. Couple more things. Keep the white belt mindset. You know, always be humble and always assume that you can learn more and get better. No matter how good you are, there's always somebody out there who's better than you. And you can always learn something, even if it's from someone who's not as good as you. So, you know, this is extremely important. You don't have to be a world champion in order to you know, be able to offer some good advice. In fact, a lot of times the guys who've, you know, achieved really high levels of riding often don't understand how they got there. And so may not be the best people to check out. So, you know, having that white belt mindset and assuming that you can learn something from everyone that you meet will keep you open to learning lessons that you may have otherwise missed. This one was really, really important, and I probably should have talked about this sooner, but be aware of the anti-you. And this was a pretty good thing that was brought up in the book that I'd never really read before, but I really understand the concept. It actually really strikes home for me. But this is that thing that intimidates and frustrates you. You know, it can be a specific section of trail or a type of riding skill you don't possess yet. But the anti-you is really the mirror you need to break to take your riding to the next level. But the problem is a lot of riders don't like to look in that mirror. They spend a lot of time and effort actually avoiding their anti-you. And instead of seeking it out and facing it, which is, you know, why they end up, you know, only progressing to a certain point and stopping. So, you know, this is one of the things that I loved about mountain biking was that every once in a while you will get presented with something that will scare you. You know that you can do it, but it scares you and it intimidates you. And it's, can you like stare it in the eye anyways and say, fine, you may kick my butt, but I'm going to conquer you. And that mindset right there, that was something that I love about mountain biking, because the trail will always present you with something that will require you to silence that little voice in the back of your head that says that you can't do it and do it anyways. And it's such an important thing, both in life, you know, and on the trail. And, you know, like I said, it could be a specific section of trail for a lot of riders. I mean, that this is usually like downhill technical stuff. There's a lot of people have a section of trail that they end up just walking every time they come to, and they just don't even try to ride it. I've never understood that. Like, I don't understand, like, if you as long as it's nothing crazy. I mean, obviously we're talking about, like, you know, some dudes on the North Shore doing crazy hucks and stuff, but that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a section of trail that you know can be ridden. You've seen plenty of other riders, probably people who aren't as good as you overall, ride this, and it frustrates the crap out of you. But instead of like facing it and figuring out how do I get better at it, you end up making excuses all the time for why you walk it, why you don't even try riding it. And so that is, to me, really, really, really cramps your progression as a rider, is not understanding the value of the anti-you. That is the thing that you need to conquer to get better. And the longer that you deny that, the longer you're going to be stuck in the same basic, you know, progression with your riding. So embrace the anti-you. If it makes your, you know, if it gives you that little pucker up moment, man, there's probably something good. There's something good on the other side of that when you finally conquer it. So, you know, seek that out. Don't avoid it. And then finally, last but not least, wrap this thing up. Remember the sage advice of my boy Tyler Durden from Fight Club. This is your life, and it's ending 1 minute at a time. And, you know, that can kind of be a bit of a depressing thought, but really to me, it just tells me you don't want to be that guy who's laying on his deathbed wishing that he had done something, you know, that he had learned a corner better, that he had learned a dirt jump, that he had learned how to conquer that section of the trail that always scared him. You know, you don't want to be that guy. You don't want to have that regret. So use that as a challenge. This is your life, and it's ending 1 minute at a time. And if you want to get better at something, do it. Stop making excuses. Stop saying tomorrow. Figure out your plan. Figure out what you need to do in order to improve on it, and do it. Act on it. So that's it. Hopefully this podcast has given you a little bit better perspective on how to look at your program to improve specific things and the mindset that you need to do that, and maybe a little kick in the pants there at the end to do it. So, you know, check me out on the web at bikejames.com if you've got any comments or questions on this. I've got this podcast posted there. You can post those comments there, and I'll get to them as soon as possible. Once again, it's been James Wilson with MTB Strength Training Systems. Really enjoyed doing this podcast. Hope you enjoyed it as well, and I'll talk to you in the next one.